Thank you, Lord. Just kick back in his arms and just let go. Lean back, right? How many could say I needed that, right? Because I need him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, we've been enjoying our times of prayer here every day at 5, Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock. Come on out and join us. It's been amazing. Each night is different. We're just being open to let Holy Spirit direct things. And it's been going really well. And I believe that it's making a difference. How many believe your prayers do make a difference? Amen. Hallelujah. If you have faith, then you pray. Amen. If you believe your prayers make a difference, then you'll pray. Amen. We could say, yeah, I believe my prayers make a difference, but how much are you praying then, right? If they're making a difference, keep up the good work, right? And if you haven't been praying, get with it, man. Amen. That's your communication with Jesus. Hallelujah. And he's done so much for us, making it possible for us to be able to come before his throne, amen, of grace, into the most holy place. Do you know? Under the old covenant, under the old priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, if the priest was not ceremonially clean, you know, as to speck, you know, well, he would die in God's presence. So they would tie a rope with some bells around his ankle when he went in with the incense that would cloud the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, where the Shekinah glory, the glory of God, dwelt between the cherubim on the mercy seat. And he would sprinkle the blood on behalf of himself and upon for the sins of the people. Amen. But if he was not clean, if he was not pure, when he went behind that veil, he would be struck dead by the sheer holiness of God. That's why no sin can stand in God's presence. That's why we need the mercy of God. That's why we need the blood of Jesus Christ to cover us, so we can come with confidence or boldness before our Father's throne. Now we can enter in beyond the veil, amen, the Holy of Holies. That is so amazing. Aren't you glad that we don't have to go through all the ceremony, you know, and all the rituals? That these are all a picture of Christ in the fulfillment of Christ, amen, what he would do in salvation. Being the Lamb of God. In James 4:7, it says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So before you resist the devil, you submit to God. So the title of the message this morning is actually Worshiping Within the Veil. And I want to talk a little bit about this morning, because there are three chambers in the temple, amen, and it's in the secret place, or the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, the very core of that earthly tabernacle that was set up, amen, to be a type and a shadow of Christ and his bride, his church, amen. It was in the secret place, the most holy place, where God's presence dwelt, amen. And because of what Christ did for us, again, he has given us access now into that holy place, to where we can commune with God. And so if we're going to have stability in our life, it's going to be a result of God's strength in our lives. Human effort, human strength avails little. Amen. And we are living in a world filled with devils. Amen. And in a sin-sick, broken world. And so God has allowed us, in his mercy, because of Jesus, because of his sacrifice, to come to him, into that very holy place with him, to sit down literally in his presence and fellowship with him and receive the strength that we need to be able to endure. Amen. No matter what life throws at you, greater is the one that's in us than he that's in the world. And so there are many folks that attend church faithfully, and sometimes for many years, But for some reason, they continue to remain unstable in their Christian walk. Do you know anybody like that? Have you ever been that way? Maybe that's where you're at today. I don't know. But I do know that God wants His people to be strong and to be steady, to be stable in their walk, amen, with Him. And the only way we can become stable is from the stability that God's grace provides us. Not in our own willpower to live a holy life or to be good. Because apart from Christ, nobody is good. Amen? He makes us good. When you have a good heart, amen, good fruit will result. All right? So it's the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruit of my flesh that is acceptable to God. So the word submit here means to be under obedience or subject to. So if you're under obedience to God, then you can resist the devil. How many know that you have authority when you remain under the authority of God? That means that you willfully submit your will to the will of God. All right? Galatians 5:16 says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." So what does Paul mean here by flesh? Is he talking about biological body that we have? By it could be, amen, in some places, in such as in Genesis, amen, during Noah's flood, right? God says, I'm going to destroy all flesh, amen. That was the right biological life of that time. But here, when he's talking about flesh, he's not talking about biological, our bodies, okay? But he's talking about the soul life. And also, it can be referred to as self-will. In order to be a follower of Jesus, I have to learn how to deny myself. I'm learning how to lean on Him by denying myself. God is weaning us off dependence on self to relying upon Him, so we have grace to be a witness for Him in this world. So we have grace to overcome this world. Because Jesus said, apart from me, right, we can do nothing. So Jesus, our example, taught us how to deny ourselves. Amen. Jesus denied Himself, His humanity, amen, to obey the Father's will. And He had to rely upon the Holy Spirit, just like we do, in order to do that. So your will, all right, is an important part of you, right? But it's only evil when it rebels against the will of God. You hear that? So your will is an important part of you, but it's only evil when it rebels against God's will. So God gives you the freedom to choose what you will do with your life, with your body. Amen? And so you have freedom in the Lord, amen? But it only becomes evil, my will only becomes evil when I rebel against the known will of God. So God gave each one of us a mind to think, right? Emotions so we could feel. Amen? How many like feelings? Sometimes not, but, right? But, and a will to choose. All right? And that's who we are as a soul, amen? We have a mind to think, emotions to feel, and a will to choose. And He doesn't take that away from us. So the key to being a spiritual person, not in the world's sense of spiritual, amen, that's pretty broad. What do you mean by spiritual? But we're talking about a person who is led by the Spirit of the Lord, right? The key to being a person led by the Spirit is learning how daily to deny ourselves, all right, in order to do the will of God. So, again, our Lord, He used His mind, right? His will, His emotions. And He was human, like we were when He was in this world. Amen. He was God, but He was also man. And He learned to deny that part of Him whenever it would interfere with His Father's will. This is what the Lord is teaching us, to learn how to control our vessel, to be in charge of this vessel by relying upon the strength He supplies us by His Spirit. I know we all sing the song, or some have, Jesus, take the wheel. Well, He's not going to take it completely from you. He's going to allow you to hold one side of the wheel, all right? And that's why we are to yoke up with Him, amen? We're not to live independent of Him, but we're also to walk with Jesus, amen? As two oxen, all right? Walking together. And so it's not this thing where, if God does it, I'll do it. No, God says, you obey me, and I'll give you the grace to do so. Rely upon my grace. Understand that you can't without me. You can do nothing without me. So even though Jesus was a human being, He learned to deny that part of Him whenever it would interfere with the Father's will again. In John 6:38, for He said, I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, or my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. So, Jesus wants us to have abundant or full life, okay? And it goes contrary to our natural reasoning, because the world allures us with cheap counterfeits. Things that appear to be shiny and good, but in the end lead to death. It's called temptation. All right? If sin wasn't enticing, it wouldn't be a temptation. And there is pleasure in sin for a season. But eventually it leads to death, does it not? So we must turn away from our self life or our soul life and relinquish that control to God. In other words, willfully submit my will to the will of God. Amen. And then I have life and peace, because when I'm under His covering, I have rest for my soul. Amen. God wants His people to enter into His rest. And we'll get into that further on in this. Now, being excited about Jesus is wonderful. Amen. I get excited about Jesus, right? Amen. But emotional excitement won't keep you in the difficult times. Yeah. People that rely upon their emotions don't do very well, because your emotions will forsake you when difficult times come. And that's why many people fall away when things get tough. Attending church is not necessarily an evidence that a person is close to God or in right standing with God, or even saved at that matter. Jesus said in Matthew 13:20, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. That's the New Living Translation. What's the problem? They don't have deep roots. God wants His people to have deep roots, so we can endure the storms of life. Amen. We need a strong root base in order to endure. So that's what He's talking about when He says you need to build your house upon the rock. Amen. Upon my word. And we know this is going to become even more evident in the days to come. It's sink or swim. You're either going to be in the Lord or you're not. You can't be lukewarm. You can't be somewhere in the middle and survive this thing. Amen? Because there is an onslaught of evil, as we are all witnessing. Amen? And yet, at the same time, there is also a greater grace, a greater glory that God is releasing. For where iniquity abounds, grace much more abounds. So that we have all that we have need of to overcome. No matter what comes our way, by the grace of God, we can overcome the world. Amen? The day of the Lord's wrath is coming, isn't it? It's approaching. Malachi 4:1 says, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. 2 Peter 3:7, New Testament, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word of God, as God spoke the heavens and the earth into existence, that same word, are also reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition or destruction of ungodly men. So God's wrath is coming, all right? But it's not going to be poured out upon those who belong to Jesus. Somebody say amen. All right. So God didn't redeem us to pour his wrath out upon us. Amen. In the world, he said, you'll have tribulation. You're going to have difficulties. Amen. We're living in those troublesome times right now that we were warned about. Therefore, let us not sleep, 1 Thessalonians 5:6, as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Be watchful. Stay awake. Stay alert spiritually. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord spoke about two houses. How many are familiar with the two houses? Matthew 7:24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Oh, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Has anybody ever experienced the floods and the wind beating on your life? But verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. In other words, these are people who are also hearing what he's saying. Will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. You see, sometimes people think, I can pick and choose my obedience. I can pick and choose what part of God's word I'll obey. He says, that's being foolish. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now, I believe the sand represents the mind and the will and the emotions, the self-life, the self-driven life. All right. So in other words, you can intellectually agree with the message that you hear. You can say, yeah, that was a good word. I agree with that. And even be excited about Jesus. But if you're not willing to yield your life to God, your house will eventually collapse. We have witnessed that. I have seen many people who began well, but did not finish. Now, I know that God is capable. Amen. More than able to rescue a lost sheep and bring that sheep back and restore that one, amen, to fellowship. But God does not want us, amen, wandering away and getting into mischief. Why? Most importantly, because we discredit him when we do that. When we claim to be a follower of Jesus and we live a sinful life, we bring dishonor upon our Lord. And if you love Jesus, you obey his commandments. And his commandment is to love one another. And when I love people, amen, that I see, I'm loving him who I don't see. And when I love, amen, the law is fulfilled in that saying, namely, love your neighbor as yourself. See, a wise man will draw near to God. It's not enough just to say, I believe in Jesus. Because if you refuse to yield your will to him, you will continue to be unstable. This is why people, even who attend church regularly, or may have been in church for many years, but they continue to live an unstable life, it's because of this, they're torn between the world and the Lord. They have split affections. Are you hearing me? You cannot serve two masters. You have to decide who you're going to follow. If you're going to have a stable life, then you need to fully give your life completely to Jesus. Amen? You need to surrender your life to Jesus. That's where your stability comes in. Amen? Because the Lord is the strength of our life. He is our stability. He is our foundation. Amen? He is our rock. So a wise man will draw near to God. A wise man will enter into a personal relationship with God. And a wise man will dig deep, amen, and pray through the veil of his flesh and enter into the rest of God in the Holy Spirit. This is what I want to kind of focus on today. All that was kind of building up to this point, is that God wants us to know how to come in behind the veil. Now, we live in the veil, but we still are dealing with this flesh, which is like a barrier. Are you hearing me? That can cloud our judgment. that can get in the way, that can hinder us. So we need to learn how to deny that self life, that soul life, and submit my will to the will of God. And by doing so, I enter into God's rest. I find peace for my soul there. All right? Psalms 91, how many know this one? Verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, the secret place is the place where God dwells. Amen? It's His presence. All right? And the word dwells literally means sitting down. So it's as if you are sitting down at ease in the comfort of your home. This is the picture that we get. God wants us to come into His fellowship, into His presence, and sit down at His feet, amen, as if we're sitting in our own living room at ease and fully sheltered and protected, amen. Hallelujah. Because He is our strong tower. He is our refuge. He is our rest. When you abide in Him, you have a supernatural peace, amen. It passes your own understanding. When you're in Christ, hallelujah, you have a hope that is steadfast and sure. And you have a certain confidence, amen, that it's going to be okay. I'm not in fear. I'm not in worry. Because I'm at peace in the presence of my God. God wants us to learn how to dwell and to worship in the secret place. Within the veil. And I want to get into that a little bit more here. So the psalm, again, is painting this picture of sitting down together with the Lord. All right? And the word abide also means to lodge or take up residence. Now, has not God given us refuge in Him? Has He not given us access to His presence? Amen? The secret place? And those who diligently seek Him will find Him. Did not the Lord say, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. You see, there are levels, amen? God wants us to enter into the deep place. You see, sometimes we can just like splash around in the outer court, if you will, even in worship. Get a few goosebumps and kind of like, hey, I like that song. It's one of my favorite songs. But God wants you to go in to the deep place with Him where you are encountering His presence. Are you hearing me? Where you're hearing His voice, where He's smiling on you. Hallelujah. In that place. Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about it some more here. Or I will. But God has given us this access. Amen. So here's Luke's version of this, this scripture about the house, right? In 6 and verse 48, he's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation. I think it's important that we understand that he dug what? Deep. And laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. In 1 Corinthians 3:11, it says, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. So many people, when they're presented with a challenge of surrendering their lives to Christ, turn away from the Lord. Yeah. I'm willing to go this far, but sometimes they're close but not close enough. Are you hearing me? They don't go deep enough. So they have a shallow root base because they don't have a deep relationship with God. All right? They don't have that faith that's going to carry them. All right? There is the faith that we put in God, but then there's the faith that we receive from God. And this is the grace that we need to sustain us, is the grace that comes from God. And we receive that from God. Amen? In the holy place. All that we have need of is available to us in Christ. All right? Just stay with me because I'm going somewhere with this. All right. So far, so good. All right. Nobody's walked out. Praise God. All right. So, you know, sometimes, guys, it's people when they realize that God is actually calling them to surrender their life. They're willing to go to church. They're willing to do some Christian things, sing some songs, listen to some message. All right? If it can improve my life, that's great. But when it comes to a surrender of my will to the will of God, that's where many people get off. People left Jesus when he spelled out what discipleship really looks like. At the end, he didn't have a lot of followers, did he? Most people left him. But if we don't learn to overcome ourselves, we're not going to be much use to the Master. In other words, people can be excited about the Lord for a season. But when it comes down to denying their self-life to follow Jesus, they lose interest. And some even leave the faith altogether. The only way we can overcome is by relying again on the Holy Spirit. Psalms 1:1, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Abiding in the Word is abiding in Him who is the Word. Now, in the Old Testament temple, there were three chambers. There was this outer court, an inner court, and then the holy place or the most holy place. The Holy of Holies, the secret place where the glory of God is. You and I are made up of three parts as well. We have an outer part, a visible part. Amen. That's the outer court. That's the body. Amen. And then there is this inner court. That would be our soul. And then within the soul is what we call the heart or the spirit. All right? That's the secret place. This is in the spirit is where we commune with God. So when a person receives Christ, they enter into the outer court of the temple. All right? Now hear this. They are to be baptized with water. That's where the laver was. Amen? With the brass mirrors. All right, that's where the altar of sacrifice was. When they first entered into the temple, the first thing was the altar of sacrifice. Amen. Jesus was our lamb. He was our sacrifice. It was by his blood, amen, that we are forgiven. And so there needs to first be a sacrifice brought in by the repentant one or the one that was wanting fellowship with God. They had to bring something to God, a lamb without spot or blemish. Amen. Or turtle doves, depending on what they could afford. But they were to give their best to God, and they were to come in and make an offering to God. And then the priest would take that offering, amen, and he would tie it to the horns of the altar. And the horns represent the power of God, amen. And that sacrifice would then be burnt, amen, and offered on behalf of the person who brought the offering. The blood would be sprinkled around the altar, and it would be collected. Amen? Because the blood was that which would give them access to God's throne. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There is no way for you and I to be able to come into God's holy presence except by the blood of Christ. Amen? As of a lamb without spot or blemish. So they were to be baptized in water. That was the outer court. They were to be fed the milk of the Word. Do you see, when they would look into the water, then the laver, amen, those brass mirrors were showing the priest a reflection of himself. How are you hearing me? By the water of the Word, we see a reflection of ourselves. Mm-hmm. We see reflection of who we are, who we really are. And yet it was, if you will, through a glass darkly. It was not a clear picture, but we got a picture of ourselves, right? In that outer court. But then there was the candlestand, amen, in the next chamber, which is the secret place, where the oil had to be continuously supplied to illuminate this next chamber, which I believe represents the soul that is illuminated by Christ And in that place was also the hidden manna that you couldn't see from the outer court. You could only see it if you came into that place. And that manna was on the showbread, right? It was the bread of the presence, it was called, on a table opposite, amen, the lampstand that had to have a continual flow of oil. How many know the Lord tells you and I to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And then before that great curtain of the veil that only the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement could enter with the blood of the sacrifice, there was this incense altar. And the priest would take the incense and lay it upon the coals, and it would give off a sweet aroma. Amen. And the smoke would fill this area. Amen. And also he would have to enter in with the smoke. Amen. As he went behind the veil with the blood after he had been ceremonially washed. Otherwise, he would have died in the holiness of God. Now hear this, because when Jesus died on that cross, what happened was that veil in the temple was torn from what? Top to bottom. And the way into the holiest was now open to you and to me. So we can come with confidence by the blood of Jesus, our sacrifice, our forerunner, who with his own blood went behind the veil in heaven itself. Amen. To sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat that was there in the presence of the Father. Amen. So now that blood speaks for mercy for you and I. We can come with confidence to our Father's throne of grace. Where? Within the veil. So when a person comes to the Lord, they're baptized, amen? And they start to desire the sincere milk of the Word. They start to feed on the Word of God. These are all important steps, amen? But we also have to remember that people need to be taught to enter in now behind the veil, the throne room of grace, where they will find the Lord, amen? The Holy Spirit will direct them in their walk. When a person is a babe, they need to be taught. They need to be instructed. They need to be taken care of. Amen. They need to be fed. Hallelujah. Amen. But God wants people to grow up. Amen. And start feeding themselves. Amen. And God doesn't want you depending on somebody else. Amen. To keep you going spiritually. Are you hearing me? God wants you to know how to come to Him yourself, because the veil is open, amen? So that you can receive mercy and find the grace to help you in your time of need. Amen. Every one of us here should know how to get into the glory, the realm of God, amen? To where there is life and there is peace. To where you're sitting down at the feet of Jesus, amen? Without a care in the world, because in His presence there is fullness of joy. And there's no fear in God's presence. Hallelujah. Because His perfect love casts out all fear. Do you understand? If we're in fear, it means we need to go deeper. You need to dig deeper. You need to dig the well. Get over yourself. Get past the veil of your flesh. Amen. Into the holy place. That's why we worship today. And that's why we sing, because in the old covenant, amen, under the old system, the people would make their way up towards the Temple Mount, amen, as they were approaching the tabernacle, if you will. They would sing psalms. They had called the psalms of ascent. As they went, they would sing psalms unto the Lord, amen. And then they would enter His gates with thanksgiving in their hearts, amen, into the outer court. And His courts with praise. And they will worship. Amen. That's the incense, is a sign of the prayers of the saints. How many know that prayer is precious to the Lord? And it's as a sweet fragrance before His throne. There are bowls in heaven. You see, the earthly tabernacle was a type of the heavenly. There is a sea of glass. Come on. The laver in heaven. And we can enter in, hallelujah, by faith in Jesus' blood with confidence and receive from our Father all that we have need of, hallelujah, and to sit at His feet, hallelujah, and find rest for your soul. Whew. So entering the veil means I got to get past the veil of my self-will. How many beside myself struggle with your self-will? We all struggle with that part of us that wants its own way. And that's why Paul, the apostle, said, I die daily. I have to be deliberate about this. I have to deny that part of me that wants to rebel against what I know God's will is for my life. So I'm going to willfully use my will, amen, a choice of my will to submit to the will of God so that I might live out the will of God in my life. Hallelujah. And that's why we need to understand something that's not pleasant, but important. We need to understand the importance of brokenness as that veil was torn. So there's going to be a tearing in your life as a child of God. And God is bringing you into a place where you're going to know that your life is in Him. Amen. And that in my brokenness, all right, and in my inability, His strength will come. Amen. When I realize that I am weak, but He is strong, I'm in a place where I can receive grace. But when I become arrogant or prideful or rebellious, God will not give His grace to me. And then I become vulnerable, amen, to my flesh and what my flesh wants to do. So we have to learn how to starve, if you will, your flesh out. Deny that self-life, amen. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Rely upon the grace. Go into the holy place. Pray, amen, until you be endued with power from on high. Amen. And then you can be a bold witness because in the love of God, you're not afraid of people. Come on, somebody. If I find myself fearful, it means that I need to pray and I need to dig deeper. These prayer meetings, guys, have been a time of digging the well. That's what we're doing. Amen. We're praying for a greater glory. We're praying for a greater manifestation of the power of God because we need it. Come on. I want to see salvation, healing, deliverance. Amen. Souls set free. I want to see America change. I want to see America saved. Amen. And God is calling all of us to come back. Get right with Him first. And then He will pour out His Spirit, I believe. In the sense that we will be effective also in representing Him. Remember what Jesus said. The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. You see, under the old covenant, they had a form of godliness. They lived according to formalities. And those were the ones that God established. But Christ, when He came to fulfill all of that. Amen. And it was always pointing forward to the Messiah, Jesus. Amen. So in Christ, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are His dwelling place. And we commune with God in our spirit. So we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, the word for worship here means a posture of submission. There we go again. A posture of submission. So to worship means to bow down, to recognize and acknowledge God's sovereignty, that He is Lord, amen, and I am not. You are a true worshiper of God when you are broken and submitted to God. All right? You're not a true worshiper of God until you are broken and submitted to God. And that's why sometimes they're saying, Lord, what is going on? Sometimes you're doing everything right and then things happen. Why? Because God wants to do a deeper work. God wants you to learn that He's going to be the one to carry you through everything. The hour is coming, and it's now, He said. We are worshipers who worship God in spirit. He was saying that it's not going to be like the old pattern, the old system of sacrifices. Jesus is saying, I'm going to replace that. I am actually going to fulfill that. I am going to become that sacrifice once and for all. And by my own blood, I'm going to enter into heaven itself. Amen. And I'm going to sprinkle that blood, amen, on behalf of you. So that you can be forgiven if you will confess, amen, and you can be restored to fellowship with God the Father, and you can access the throne of your Father, amen, anytime by way of the blood of the new covenant. Hallelujah. How many know that the veil is open? The window of heaven, you don't have to go to a geographic location to meet with God, amen, because the heavens are open, hallelujah, to the believer. Now, positionally, we're seated together with Christ, all right, in heavenly places. But we still need to contend with our flesh in order to find rest. I find that in order for me to get into the rest of God, I have to get over myself, right? And I have to get over the opinions of people. Nothing matters except that I touch the hem of his garment. I get close to Jesus, amen. And that which is clouding my judgment, getting in the way, amen, oppression and depression and worries and cares and doubts and fears and all these things, amen, they disappear in the presence of God. So if we're living in that place, we're living in the soul yet. Are you hearing me? And we go deeper into God, and then those things lose their control or their power over you. You enter into a place of peace, a supernatural peace that guards your heart and mind. So when I find myself, and I do at times, worrying about stuff, it's just a sign that, you know what, I need to get alone with my God. I need to get into my presence of my Lord. Or if I can't do that, I'm just going to pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I'm going to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Until I get past my fears, my doubts, and the peace of God that passes all understanding begins to control my heart and my mind. And I'm thinking, man, this thing seemed to be so big, it just shrunk. In the presence of the Lord, I'm like, you know what? I'm in my Father's presence now. Hallelujah. I'm surrounded by His glory. Hallelujah. Hey, I can sit down, amen, and relax as if I'm at ease in my Father's house. Amen. You see, some people, they'll just sing a few songs and do a little of this. We'll dabble with Christianity a little bit. No, that's not what God wants. God wants the surrender of the heart. He's after your heart. And when he has his heart, when he has your heart, he has you. He has all of you. And guys, it's just, listen, if you can't get to this place, this is first step one. If you can't get to the place of submission, nothing else is going to work. It's just not going to work. All you're doing is putting band-aids on problems. You have to submit your will to the will of God, and then God will intervene with his grace, and he'll bring order to your disorder. Amen. That's how it works. You're going to have trials. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have storms in life. Amen. But if you're in that place with God, if you have deep roots, you're not going to be shaken by it. And I believe more than ever we need to get deep roots today. We need to be building ourselves up spiritually. Amen. And we need to be praying in the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be in fellowship. We need to be about our Father's business. We need to give God our lives. Come on, somebody. Surrender your life to Jesus. Because that's what he's calling us to. He wants us to give up the fight and just lean back in his arms and let it go. Hallelujah. When I was a youth, I was in and out of church. But that was it. I was just going to church. And I didn't really know the Lord. I knew about him, but I didn't know the Lord. And so I was distracted by external things, things that were happening around me. But my heart never went to God. And I never knew how to get in to the presence and to the glory, if you will, into the secret place with God. So I lived a very external, shallow existence. Amen. And because I didn't have any roots, I was so easily distracted or swayed by the pressure of people and my friends could easily entice me into sin because I didn't have the roots to stand. And see, the enemy is going to fight you and try to stop you from digging deep and going deep into God. He's going to bring every excuse. He's going to bring every distraction your way. He's going to offer you alternatives to going to church, of spending time in God's presence. Oh, your favorite show is playing. The Super Bowl's going on today, isn't it? Come on, somebody. All these things. All these distractions to keep you from going deeper into God and getting your roots. You know as well as I do, there's so many, including my life. At one time, I got excited about the things of God for a short time, but I didn't have the root base because I didn't continue. Amen? And so when temptation came, I easily fell. How many been on that gerbil wheel? You're going around in circles, you're not making any progress. You do good and then you're not. You're doing good, you're not. God wants stability in your life. And stability comes through submission to God. There's no other way about it. You're not going to be able to stand outwardly unless you are bowed down inwardly to God. God wants you to trust Him for His grace. He wants you to spend time in His presence. He's opened the way for you. So you can now come, amen, and get past yourself. Can I give you just a little practical thing here? When I pray, a lot of times I'll just spend time praising the Lord, giving thanks to the Lord. Amen. What's happening? As I'm breaking through the veil of self, all right? Until all of a sudden I start to feel that, if you will, that inner reservoir beginning to open up, to release that fountain. Amen. And now there's like a release of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And the power of God begins to overcome my soul man, my outer man. And now my soul man becomes humbled and broken before God and submitted to God by the Spirit of God. You see, that's in charge now. So now when I pray, if I'm in the realm of the Spirit, I can pray in the Holy Spirit. I can pray spiritual prayers. Are you hearing me? And a prayer that is in the Holy Spirit is a life-giving prayer because it's connected to Him who is life. It's not some dry, dusty discourse. Amen? It is life. When you connect with God in the Spirit, life always results. So you praise. And you pray and you cry out to God. And sometimes it's right away you're there. And other times you got to fight to get past yourself. Is this making sense? So we've got to be diligent. And you cannot allow your soul or your flesh to rule you. You cannot afford to allow your flesh to reign, to have its way. That's why sometimes fasting is important. Fasting and prayer. To get your flesh where it belongs. Amen. Under your feet. So you're being led of the Spirit. So I can't allow my flesh to have its way. When I allow myself to become weak because I disconnect from God. Amen. Then my flesh becomes more vulnerable to temptation. My soul. So I must be strong in the Lord. Do you know the Bible commands us to be strong in the Lord? Because God has made available to you everything you need to make you strong. He's given us you, His Holy Spirit, and He's given us His Word. And so we can be strong. We need to build up, focus on that most important part of us, and that is our spirit life. If your spirit is strong, everything else will come. Are you hearing me? If you seek first the kingdom of God, if you seek God above everything else will be what? Added unto you as well. Hallelujah. Dig deep. Get into the rest of God again. And it's in that place where you hear the voice of God clearly. It's in that place where now I know what God's heart is, what God's will is for me. Amen. God wants to speak, and he is speaking. Amen? But we have to be willing to listen. So we cannot afford to allow our flesh to have its way. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we want to be faithful. We have little strength, Lord. We do not have the ability in ourselves to live this life you've called us to. Lord Jesus, we recognize that you are the source of our strength, that you are our stability, that you are our foundation. You are our rock, Lord. And Jesus, we look to you today, God, and we ask you for grace. We ask you to grant us the grace, Lord, even to pray. Father, grant us your grace to pray, that we can overcome that part of us that resists prayer. You said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Lord, grant us the grace that we can overcome our flesh and we can live in the peace of God, in the life of God. We're asking for more, Lord. Would you just lift your hands to him and say, Lord, we want more today. We want more of you. Holy Spirit, come. Have your way with me. Lord, take me in to the secret place with you. Take me past myself into you. I want to find rest in your presence. Your glory is what I want to see. Hallelujah. Just worship the Lord this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's offer incense to him this morning. A sweet, fragrant offering to him. Hallelujah. 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 Go ahead and praise him and get praise past yourself. Hallelujah. We bless you and we praise you and we worship you, Lord. God, we pray, strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen each one of us, Lord, with might and inner man. Lord, we pray that you'd revive us. Revive me, Lord. Revive us, Lord. Awaken us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Strengthen us, God. We need you, Lord. We say, let God arise. Let God arise in me. And his enemies be scattered. Drive them away, Lord. Drive them away from me, Lord. Deliver me, Lord. Set me free. Set my spirit free, Lord, that I may worship you. Hallelujah, in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let God arise. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our voices this morning. Hallelujah. Let's practice what we just heard. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.